The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the area of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father, and I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me look at this gospel reading, and in a gesture to those among you who do Bible study or to delve a little deeper into the scriptures, let me offer a few exegetical thoughts about this gospel by way of introduction. I know that some of you do Bible study and you take the word very seriously in a studious way, and therefore details are of interest to you, so one or two details about it. This profession of faith by Peter is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in Mark chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 9. But here in Matthew, chapter 16 here in Matthew, it's different, it's longer, and only Matthew has that additional narrative that after he has made his profession of faith, Jesus speaks to Peter and says, "Simon, son of John, no mere man has disclosed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." He says that only in Matthew's gospel. The others have his profession of faith. "Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Matthew adds this piece. That became very important, especially during the time of the Reformation, where, you know, the Reformers, the Protestants said, you know, the Pope isn't the successor of Peter. They believed that this said to Peter is correct in Matthew's gospel, but the succession, the papal succession, became an issue of conversation. The second background thing here has to do with the area, Caesarea Philippi. It's about 40 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. And as you know, most of the life of Jesus is spent around the Sea of Galilee. Nazareth, Cana, Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, Bethsaida, the calming of the waters and the sea, almost the entire public life of Christ is spent around the Sea of Galilee. And this Caesarea Philippi, that's about 40 miles north, up next to the Lebanese border, in the foothills of Mount Hermon, where the River Jordan rises. Now, today it's called Banias. It's a very scenic place. There's a public park there. Lots of families go there. Sunday afternoon and recreation and things like that. It's a festive place. It's very, very beautiful today. It's called Banias, which is a mutation of Panias. Way back in the time of Christ, it was called Panias. Before Christ, it was dedicated to the god Pan. In the lexicon of gods, in the Greek gods, Pan is the god of nature, of creation, the god of the wild, also, interestingly, the god of the shepherds, the nomadic shepherds. And there was a temple there to the god Pan. And therefore, when Jesus says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, not on the rock of Pan. There are still many inscriptions there to remember Pan. So Jesus says, this is the rock on which I will build my church, not Pan, or not the gods of the past. Interestingly, some commentators, I haven't seen this myself, I didn't find it when I went there, I've been there a few times, but he said there's a cave there. Entrance to the cave is said by the pagan world before Christ to be the entrance into the underworld, into Hades. And therefore, when Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, he is pointing to the gates that lead into Hades, into the underworld. All these things have a special meaning. But that's not the core teaching of this event. The core teaching has to do with the question, who do people say that I am? And Peter steps forward and he makes this extraordinary profession of faith, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, that's amazing. That has been revealed to you by my heavenly Father. But then he goes on to say to Peter and to the others, don't tell anyone that I am the Christ. That's a strange admonition he gives to them. Even though you have made a profession of faith in me as the Messianic one, don't tell anybody about it. Now, that will come up a number of times. What Jesus is saying is, until you have seen Jesus suffer, until you have seen him rejected, until you have seen him crucified and then rise from the dead, until that time, you cannot preach the Messiah. Until you yourself fail, until you default, until you doubt, and you come back and ask for forgiveness to be reconciled, until that happens to you in your suffering and your struggle, until you go through that, you cannot preach the Messiah. Don't tell anybody until you get to that place, until you have that experience. How do we draw this into the present moment? Recently, I was reading a book by Elie Wiesel called The Souls on Fire. Souls on Fire is a reflection on the master rabbis of the Jewish Hasidic movement. Very familiar to Elie Wiesel because his grandfather was an Hasidic rabbi. He has one core thought in this book, which is essential. It's very subtle, but it's essential to understanding the gospel. He says that the only way in which you can understand a story or tell a story is from inside the story. Inside the story. If you're not inside the story, you do not hear it. And if you're not inside the story, you cannot tell the story. Let me explain that. Sometimes people have said to me, when you give a homily, I think you're speaking exactly to me. Wow, that means that somehow I have entered into your story inside. Or you have had, when you're telling some story to another person and they'll say, the same thing exactly happened to me. It means we belong inside the story. Some examples will make it maybe clearer. When 9/11 happened, it wasn't just in New York. 9/11 happened in every town, in every city across the country. We were united. The assault wasn't on just New York. The assault was on us. We were a wounded country. We were in pain. The whole country came together, and we belonged to the story of 9/11. We admired the first responders. We prayed for the victims. We belonged to the story. It wasn't something that happened in China. It happened here, and it happened to us. And therefore, we were inside the story, in which case we heard the story, and in which case we shared the story, because somehow it belonged to us. We were inside the story. That crossed my mind, too, when I reflected on the death of George Floyd. There was something about that 8 minutes, which that man agonized before he died. But somehow it touched a passion, something deep inside of us. We felt a certain pain, a shame. This is not us. And somehow it belonged to us. We entered into the story. We became passionate. It made a difference to us. It wasn't something that happened in Africa. It happened to us. We belonged to the story. That's what it means when Elie Wiesel says, you can only understand the story from the inside, and you can only tell it from the inside. Now, I have struggled myself with trying to come to terms with racism in our country. Say, well, I'm not a black person. I have to reach, I have to struggle, I have to stretch to enter into the story. And even then, I'm not sure I completely grasp the burdens and the restrictions and the pains of generations who have experienced racism. It's a difficult thing. You have to reach for that. Can I tell that story? I'm not sure. But I have to try to enter into the story in order to understand it. I must belong to it. It must become my pain. It must become my struggle. How shall I understand undocumented persons who are so fearful of their family being broken up? They live in fear that somebody will be arrested and the family will be broken. How do I understand that unless I somehow enter into the moment and read the story from inside? This is what happens to Peter. He hasn't entered into the story of Jesus, and he won't until the suffering and death and resurrection of Christ. Only then, and only when he himself has failed, then he will begin to understand the story from inside. That's what this question means in the gospel. Now, sometimes we say, I really know this person. And then some scandal or something really bad happens, and we say, wow, I thought I knew the person. Well, in fact, I didn't know the person because I wasn't part of the story, the inside. I looked at the person from the outside, but I didn't know the inside. That's what's wonderful about family. Parents love their children. Their children will test them. They'll contradict them. They'll burden them, or they'll delight them. But no matter what happens, the love of the parent for the child, knowing the story of the child, it's important. I mean, in the church, we're a patriarchal church. How do we understand the story of women in the church? Unless we enter into a conversation that will allow us to feel, to sense, to belong, to be open, only then can we listen to the story from inside the story, and only then can we tell the story. That's what happens to Peter. And therefore, even when he makes the profession of faith, Jesus says, don't tell anybody yet. In families, you meet couples married for many, many years, or profound relationships. They know everything about one another. They know the weaknesses, the struggles, the limitations, and yet they love one another, knowing the story. They belong. They listen to the story from inside, and therefore they can tell the story. Now, these days, we hear a lot of confessions these days. And when somebody comes to confession to the priest, to me, they're inviting me into their story, the interior life now, the inside the story. Tell me the struggles of their lives, the fears, the anxieties, the failures of their lives. I mean, that's inside the story. The only way in which I can be a confessor, I could only be a confessor as a sinner. I'm not a judge. I'm not better. I'm not superior. If I am, I don't understand the story. I'm just an outside judge. If I'm conscious of my own sins and my own failures, if I'm a confessor, also a sinner, then I can connect. I began to understand. I began to listen to the story, understand the story. But only from inside. That's an essential insight into this gospel. And someday, in a confessional moment, you know, when you or I come into the presence of God, aware of our weaknesses and our struggles and our failures, I mean, the real deep person, the inside person in the presence of God. And I hear the voice of Jesus saying, don't you know that I suffered for you? I died for you. I died for you. And I rose from the dead to tell you how much you are loved. There is no limit to my love for you. I belong to your story. And when you break open the humanity of who you are and you find the love of Jesus inside your story, only then are you ready to go forth and proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Only then will you hear the echo of Isaiah chapter 49, where the Lord says, even though the mother may forget or can a mother ever forget the child at her breast, or forget the child that she gave birth to? Even though she does forget, I will never forget. See, your name is carved on the palms of my hand. When you hear that, and you meet Jesus inside your own story, I mean, you're a real person now, not the sanctimonious, perfect, holy, but the real person. When you meet Jesus Christ and you hear the voice of God, infinite love, now you're inside the story, and only now have you heard the story of Jesus, and only now can you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a great teaching. Amen.